But for now, though, I want to welcome my next guest into studio because she's come all the way from County Tipperary to chat to us today about her book, which is called Bug of War. She's Dr. Anne-Marie Eustace-Ryan. And as I said, she is from Tipperary, where she is working as, and you're going to have to say this for me,
Gastroenterologist.
So in very simple terms, Anne-Marie, you're all about the tummy and the gut.
All about the tummy and the gut and all that kind of thing. And I'm really, really into gut health.
Gut health.
Deirdre, and thank you for asking me to come on. You're very, very good. I've been working in this for, I've been a doctor for longer than I haven't.
Yes.
That's the start. Anyway, that's showing my vintage. And, you know, as the years have gone on, I am seeing more and more and more that the only way to treat disease is to prevent it in the first place. And that I'm on a mission, as you said, to try to get that word out there of how to prevent disease, mainly by how you eat.
How you eat. And in fact, we've been, you're right on the button at the moment, because in the last few years, we're talking more and more about our gut bacteria. And there's more and more study and research coming out about why it's so important, not just to our physical health, but to our mental health as well.
Yes, for everything. It's absolutely hugely important. And in our gut, people are hearing this more and more, but you'd be surprised, people still haven't really, don't understand it. Basically, there's about 100 trillion bugs in our guts. 100 trillion. And they're mainly bacteria, but there's viruses, there are archaea, there's protozoa, there's all sorts of little things, but they're mainly bacteria. And they basically run the show. And what they eat, it's what we eat. And that's why I'm trying to get the message across that the way to eat, to feed them for optimal health, to prevent kind of the condition called leaky gut happening, which sends alarm systems and chronic inflammation into the body, including the brain. And an awful lot of our mental health illnesses are very much to do with our diets nowadays, with our ultra processed, high sugar, high fat diet that we have kind of inherited from America, and we're never far behind them. And they're in big, big trouble now, and they're trying to undo all this. And I feel Ireland is small enough that maybe if I could get the ball rolling big enough in it, and there are lots like me, but I think the only one who is aiming at children in school to try to teach them.
And just before we come on to talking about children and about your book, which is for children, just to stick with gut bacteria for a moment, am I right in saying that for a long time, and I know this the thinking is changing now, for a long time we were overusing antibiotics as well, and that was bad for our gut?
Yes, absolutely. And that kind of arose when they initially were found out to be effective in the 1940s, and don't get me wrong, they are life-saving, but 70% of antibiotics are used in animal husbandry, and that is then coming on into the food chain. Now, they tell me they're stringent in Ireland, but not in other countries, certainly not in America. And what was realised very early on in the 1940s when they started using antibiotics in animals is that they were growth promoters, actually. And they were putting weight on the animals, and they put weight on people too. And they say that the average person has kind of 80 courses of antibiotics in their lifetime, and probably 70% of them are unnecessary, actually, even though they're life-saving when they're needed. They're very inappropriate a lot of the time. And it would be very, very important for people to question, if they're getting an antibiotic, whether it is the proper course of treatment for them, because it absolutely affects your gut microbiome.
Okay.
It kills the bugs, basically.
And of course, our diet is huge. I mean, it all comes back to our diet. And do you think, from your work as a gastroenterologist, do we have, generally speaking, good diet, mediocre diet in this country?
We have a pretty mediocre to poor, to be honest, unfortunately. And it's not a new science. I mean, way back 400 BC, Hippocrates said all disease begins in the gut, that far back. So this is not a new thing, but because life has got so busy, so stressful, the companies that produce the food, the highly processed foods that are easy to attain in a packet, they give a great reward to you, the reward centres in your brain. They've got just so powerful that we've all kind of fallen into the trap of kind of being hooked on this kind of food. And it's incredibly important to remember that pure foods are what we should all be eating. Things that your grandmother would recognise as food. That's a really basic thing. Things she would recognise. There's something in it, Deirdre, that isn't what she recognises. You look at something, there's xanthan gum, there's maltodextrin, there's emulsifiers, there's flavouring, there's colourants. None of those she'll recognise, and none of them will be in your kitchen. And you actually, I'm not saying not to eat them, but be very mindful of what you're eating, because you are what you eat. They say you should heal with every meal. Every bite you put in your mouth can either kill you or cure you. And that's being kind of dramatic about it, but on a cumulative basis, that is absolutely true. It is so true.
So you'd like to see us eating more basic, like meat, spuds and veg, like our grannies did?
Exactly, the basic. And what they have shown is the microbiome of your gut, which are all those bacteria I talked about, they're not all good. Okay, so there's bad ones as well. So basically the good ones are fed with the good pure foods and the bad ones are fed with the sugars. And that's basically it in a nutshell, and there's much more detail, but that is it. So the basic foods, but we also have to be mindful that most people die of heart disease. That is the biggest killer. And heart disease can be in the very main caused by saturated fats. So you have to bring it back. You have to eat a pure diet, but you have to be very mindful that, say, red meat is quite high in saturated fat. So is butter. So is milk. So is cheese. But on the grand scheme of things, I am trying to get the point across, you're better eating those than their low-fat alternatives that are changed. Once they go into a factory, they're all processed to a certain extent. How does the milk get from the cow to us? But to change it to the extent that you're taking out the fat and you're taking out this, and you know, you see yogurts, low-fat, no added sugar, you're much better off having the real thing, albeit in small quantities. But what you really need to eat is the colourful things, like all the vegetables, all the fruits, all the nuts, all the seeds, all the herbs and all the spices. Mm-hmm. That should be the basis of all our diets.
Eat the rainbow, as they say.
Eat the rainbow. And they say you should eat about 30 different sources of fibre a week, because the fibre that you eat feeds the microbiome. That is what they eat on, the good ones. And they protect your gut then. They lay down the lining and they protect the tight junctions in the gut and stop it leaking. And if that happens, don't forget, heart disease is also an inflammatory process. So if you eat that kind of a diet, keep your gut from leaking, keep your gut healthy and everything moving on, you'll find your heart health will be better also. So it's all encompassing. It's a very, very, it's a very easy concept, but it's very difficult for people, because you only have to walk down the street and just look at the soft drinks, at the burgers, at the fast food, go into the motorway stations and see the diet. And I, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying this to have none of this. I'm saying to have this in great moderation. You know, the likes of truck drivers now, they're in real trouble. They put on a lot of weight because of their diet. They get heart diseases, they get cancers. And it's just really important to remember that that kind of food is not any good for your microbiome. Almost
convenience food
almost always isn't. A little bit of it is okay, and to have food rules, you know, to have, say, once a fortnight get a takeaway, no more than that. And have yourself with kind of food rules like that. Yeah.
And Anne-Marie, is sugar the big bad
It is really. And they had a huge conference in 1999 in America, dear, because they were getting worried with their kind of thirds of their population overweight and obese and heading to bigger. And now what are they? They're half. And the captains of industry would not listen to the health people because they're terribly powerful over there. And one of their quotes was, when in doubt, add sugar. And another fella said, don't mind nutrition, just mind the taste. And they actually go so far as they put people in CT scanners and MRI scanners, and they have fellows called optimizers who have done degrees in advanced psychology. And they feed people these foods to see their pleasure centers in their brain kind of lighting up, and that is the right amount of sugar and the right amount of sweetener to have in something to make it more appealing. So yes, sugar is the big bad wolf. So is saturated fats, though, don't forget that. But the ultra processed foods are very much up there too.
Okay, not good for your gut bacteria.
No.
So let's come on to your book, Bug of War.
Yeah.
And you're on a bit of a crusade because you want the next generation to yes. eat better than we do.
I do.
That's why you wrote the book.
I just feel I've been doing this for a couple of years now. I was trying to get the word out there, right? So I started in my dotage to do Instagram. One of my sons set me up on Instagram a few years ago, and to teach gut health. But nobody listened to me, right? So then I started doing. I'm very interested in clothes and makeup, everything as well. So I started doing things like that, and then I got a bit of a following, and then I switched to gut health, and now I have a nice few followers because I've continued that. So people kept saying to me, please write a book. We'd love to hear what you're saying in a book. But there's lots of books out there on gut health that are way better. Fiber Fuel, for instance, Will Bulswich in America, he wrote that. He actually did a live with me not so long ago. He's like, that's the mecca. And I said, you know what? I'll try to prevent the disease by having children know this. Because they're very good in primary school. They do the food do's, they do all this, and they're very, very careful about food, school lunches, and that is wonderful. But I'm trying to explain to children why this works. They might think, oh, it's good for me. But I want them to realise that the microbiome is what's good for you. It's good for your present health, for your future health, for your figure, for your brain. Prevents Alzheimer's. Alzheimer's is optional. That is something I will absolutely say to you. It prevents almost all the cancers. It prevents heart disease. It prevents stroke. It prevents type 2 diabetes. And if I could teach them at a young age to stop and say, is this good for me? Or is this bad for me? And learn to read the labels. And it's actually not that difficult. I think we could change things.
So
and that's what I'm trying to do.
So the book is called Bug of War, and it's beautifully illustrated. And you've written it in a very child-friendly way, explaining to kids there are good bugs and there's bad bugs within
yes.
your system.
Yeah.
And do you go through the various foods that are good and bad and all of that?
I do. Really aimed at maybe 7-year-olds, first to second class, I feel, in the SPHE curriculum. And I've created a website to go with it because you can't teach a book in school now without a website. So I went to the Department of Education. I said, look, I really have an idea. I really, really want to you to listen to me. And I went to the people who set the curriculum. And I said, you know, I think this could really work if we could introduce this. And they said, oh, we couldn't possibly tell schools what to teach. But he said, here's a list of all the primary schools in Ireland. Do it yourself. They have autonomy. Go to the schools and try to get them to use your book. Now, I'm working more or less full time, and I'm kind of the age I am, and I thought, how am I going to do this? So I'm doing it as best I can. I'm coming to the likes of you, to radio stations around the country, telling you. I will go to talk to any group. I talk to a lot of groups already. I'll go to schools, I'll go to GAA clubs, I'll go anywhere, primary schools, and get them to realise that this is actually very teachable on the SPHE curriculum, and 15 minutes a week I think they only get, but at least it would teach children to think on about what they're doing. It's not easy to get out there when you're an unknown like me, but God loves a dryer.
Yeah,
and I'm really, really trying. And my nephew illustrated the book, David, he's an architect, and I called the good bugs Mo and Joe and Bo, and then the bold ones No and So and Fo. I felt they were kind of appropriate, and I've little puppets made now. And I'm really trying to get it out there that it's taught to children at a young age, and that they, same as when they're 12, then they say, what's the capital of France? They say Paris. That you'll ask a child in the street, what's the microbiome? They say, oh yeah, they're the bugs in our bowel that run our systems and prevent us getting ill when we're older.
Yeah.
If people know that.
I'm giving the listeners kind of a feel for what you do. Like you've a section here, and again, this is aimed towards like 7-year-olds, but what happens when you eat an apple versus what happens if you eat a donut, and
yes.
the various pathways. And you've explained it very well, and about how you'll feel afterwards and after eating an apple, how you'll feel after eating a donut. And it's very user friendly if you're a child. No, but I think there's something for adults to learn in here as well.
Well, there is, of course, and adults do read it if they don't know about the microbiome, but not enough adults buy it for the children or for indeed for the grandchildren, because I talk to a lot of ladies groups. But I feel it's buildable. This is kind of for first and second class, half it in first class, half it in second. And if this is successful, I plan to write one slightly more advanced for third and fourth.
For the older kids.
And slightly more advanced again for fifth and sixth. At which stage I would be talking about vaping and things like that, because their mental health as they come to teenagers is awfully important and very difficult now for youngsters with social media, with all the pressures they're under. With the food they eat, it's very difficult. It's getting harder. And I would love this to work, because I feel we could be the only country in the world teaching the microbiome in school. We did it with plastic bags. We did it with smoking. Why not do it with teaching the microbiome and teaching people, by all means, have your treats. I'm not saying not to. But think, have 80% of your diet good. And then you play around.
And
with
then
the
you
20.
Play around. And anybody who's listening and says this is a load of quackery, this is so true, because I had Professor Ted Dynan from UCC.
He's
on the show.
Mecca. He's brilliant.
Twice,
yes.
and he has carried out extensive research into our gut bacteria and. Fascinating stuff, and it's all backed up by science. And
absolutely science.
Lot.
And his book, The Psychobiotic Revolution, is absolutely wonderful. And again, showing about the mental health and the metabolites that are made by the microbiome that feed your microbiome and keep your mental health good.
It all goes back to what we eat.
It all goes back to what we eat and drink.
Yeah, and put into our kids. Well, look, the book is called Bug of War by yourself, Dr. Anne-Marie Eustace Ryan. And you've been up to Mahoney's Bookshop
yes,
here in Tralee, so it's
in
for Castle sale.
In Castle Street, and yeah. It's for sale there. Because when I'm coming to a town, I like to put it in a bookshop so that people can buy it locally. It retails, I'm not sure what the retailing at, but I would usually be charging around €12. I can sell it on my website also, bugofwar.ie, and you can order it that way. But then I'd have to post it to you, so it's a few extra euro to post it.
Yeah.
But I'd love people to look at it and spread the word, and I'd love to get to some schools in Kerry with it and talk to the students and see, do the teachers think it could be a runner to help? Their curriculum is very crowded.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to teach everything, I can tell you.
I can imagine, but
yeah.
I mean, this is education for life, isn't it?
Yes.
Anne-Marie, the best of luck with the book. I know you're on a crusade, and this is kind of personal to you. You're a gastroenterologist, so you know you're seeing people at the other end of the cycle when the damage is done. Thank you so much for chatting to us. Have
pleasure.
A lovely time
Thank you
here
so
in
much
Kerry.
For inviting me. Thank
and,
you.
And we might talk again.
Please God.